tells us he's a man after God's own heart, the only thing you can do is go over to a wall and start banging your head against it because you say, God, why'd you pick him? And the reason he picked him was because David saw beyond the law and he saw grace. He was able to find forgiveness in spite of the fact that the law says that if a man commits adultery, take him out and stone him with stones. If a man commits murder, by man must his blood be shed. That's what he heard in the law, but he saw grace because God elected grace and the God he served in the fields, the God he served on the field of battle, was a God of grace. The God who let him beat Goliath when there should have been no way that should have happened. The God who let him take on a lion and a bear and win for the sake of some foolish sheep. It was grace, and he saw it. In all of his psalms, he saw it. And it's what made him different. And it really should be what defines you and me. It is not about your performance. It's about His perfection. He died in our place. He took our sin. And the only way you can deal with the guilt and the pangs of your conscience is to recognize your sins have been paid for in Jesus. He poured out wrath. The things that dog your trail, you could have done it 20 years ago. That thing never lets you go when you're walking through life. But the thing you grab hold of is that one thing that matters the most, Jesus. Because He's the only one that can make sense of this. You take an ungodly person. You know, I just heard this the other day. Now, no, there's no such thing as an atheist. There was one guy who would, every person he hired, he had them take a lie detector test. And one of the things he would ask every one of them is, do you believe there is a God? And those that said no were always found to be lying on a lie detector. Interesting. You can say, I don't believe in God all you want, but your conscience tells you. God has revealed it to them, chapter 1 in Romans. God has revealed it to them. They are without excuse. They know there's a God and He's coming for them. He's either coming in grace or He's coming in wrath. There is only two types of people. There are saints and there are ain'ts. Okay, you're either a saint or you ain't. And I'll tell you something, folks. We got so many things that bedazzle us, so many things that intrigue us, that we just go on our way as if it doesn't matter. God's Bible tells us that these people were not completely blinded, but they were blinded in verse 7. The Bible says they were blinded. The elect received it, but the rest of them were blinded. This is a very clear illustration, if you will, of what happened in chapter 1. Because when they weren't willing in chapter 1 to receive the knowledge of God, God gave them up. And what did they go into? They went into idolatry and immorality and insensitivity and foolishness. It was just like one sin led to another. That's the whole testimony of the people of Israel. They were offering children to the fire of Molech. Man, they'd get pregnant from messing around with all the other gods and their foolish, sinful rituals of those other gods. And babies would be conceived. And the only thing that made sense to them, I don't want this kid. This isn't my husband's kid. Or the prostitute inside there calling herself a priestess. This isn't my kid. Well, I know what we'll do. Ask the priest. The priest said, well, what you can do is you can offer him as an offering to Molech. You can offer him as an offering to Baal. And you know, we look at that and we say, that is so ridiculous. How do they do that? America kills 1.5 million babies every year. And you know why they do it? Because they're saying, I can do whatever I want. Who are you to judge? It doesn't matter. I'll do with my own body. It's not your body. God is just using you as a house. And our country will have to pay for this. We look at them and say, pagan, silly, foolish, moronic people. No! What about us? You know, God could have called any nation He wanted to, but He called Israel. And you say, Israel, we're just losers. I want you to take note of America today. What are we doing? We are glorifying homosexual marriage. Our media and our movies and TV have to throw in this foolishness all the time about same-sex stuff, trying to get you comfortable with it. And we're like the frog in the kettle. What would have shocked us 10, 15 years ago is everyday occurrence. In America, we we thumb our noses at God and we send our troops to war and say, ah, they'll be okay. We got a bigger, better army than anybody. Beloved, listen. This people, Israel, is laid alongside the church in this passage. And what he says is, he says they were blinded. The rest were blinded. And this is part of the spiritual thing. And he says that the Bible was prophesying it back in Isaiah 59 in verse 8. It says in 59, he's quoting chapter 59 of Isaiah. And he says, God hath given them a spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear. You know how they got that? They got that by hearing it again and again and again, and they didn't care anymore. It didn't move them anymore. When we lift up the cross and we talk about His bleeding and His nakedness and His shame, it doesn't move us because we've heard it. I remember it was a good thing when the Passion of the Christ came out. Everybody was afraid to go see it. Now it's just another movie. And God gives a spirit of sleep and a spirit of slumber. And because the sentence is not executed speedily, the hearts of men are fully set in them to do evil, Ecclesiastes tells us. Don't let yourself fall asleep. That's the message. Don't go to sleep. Shake yourself. Because we're all subject to this. And these people heard it over and over again. And they said, you know, it's okay. God's okay. I'm okay. Well, you're okay. I'm okay. No. God is awesome. And He was severe with His people. And guess what? We're His people today. He elects grace, but we take grace for granted. Bible says that not only did the prophet prophesy it in Isaiah, but David prayed for it in a messianic psalm. In Psalm 69, these are quotes from verse 9. Let their table be made a snare. Underline the word table to remind yourself he's talking about give them prosperity. Let their table be a snare. You just keep giving them all that they want. You just keep giving them the good times. You just keep letting the rock and roll roll. Let the good times roll. You just do that because they have despised you. They have taken you for granted. Give them prosperity. Remember the quail? We want quail. We want meat. God said, I'll give you meat. He sent quail. They're flying about 3 feet above the ground. And they could take a stick and knock them down, fry them up. They got quail. And while they were still eating it, the Bible says God's wrath broke out on them because they were eating and they weren't even honoring Him. Nobody stopped to say, thank you for the strength. Thank you for the sustenance. Thank you for being... I mean, it's like, wow, would you eat that? God did this because you were complaining and you said, yeah, woohoo! It sounds a lot like us. We don't want sound doctrine today. Did you know the Bible? People choose churches today not on the basis of doctrine. Did you know that? They'll go to a church that basically doesn't believe in salvation for sure. They'll go to a church that doesn't believe in half the things we believe in. And they do it because somebody they know goes there. Because it's comfortable and it's fun. And boy, we've got the things going on. And my children... Did you know that before Israel fell in Isaiah chapter 4, 5, or 6, one of those three chapters, the Bible says that women were men's were ruling over the men and that the children were their oppressors? Does that sound familiar? Does it sound familiar? Our children are making us a wreck. We're miserable. Oh, honey, honey, well, here. You do, oh, that isn't good. Let me get this for you. Let him sit over there and cry himself out. Put him out in the shed and let him sit there and cry himself out. He can't take the sound. Let him grow up, man up. Smarten up. You remember that word? You ever heard somebody, they throw a ball and hurt their hand and say, man, that's smart. You know why they say that? Because it made them a little smarter. I'm not going to catch the next one court throws at me. I ain't catching that. Because I'm smarter. You know, pain is good. Makes you smarter. You touch the muffler on the motorcycle or on the lawnmower, you ain't going to do that again. But our children are our oppressors and our women are ruling over us because we have let them become goddesses. And we're afraid to speak. You know, the Bible says three times, smartest guy in the world, smartest guy in the world besides Jesus. He said it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop. Three times he said it. Than with a brawling and a contentious woman. You say, I don't like that, Pastor. I didn't write it. I'm just the mailman. Okay? I'm just delivering the mail. And you got to make up your mind. Am I going to be God's woman? Am I going to be God's man? And am I going to be God's child? If I'm a kid, I'm supposed to honor my parents. If I'm a kid, I'm supposed to obey them while I'm in their house. But I digress. He said, give them a table that's full. Let it be a snare and a trap to them in verse 9. And he says, and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened. You know what? After a big meal like Thanksgiving Day, it's hard to watch the game no matter how much you love it. In fact, you find a way to get prostrate on your back, right? There you are. So you can let the food go to your toes while you're watching. Bad idea, because you'll fall asleep quicker that way. Best thing, stand up and watch. You got your Coke? I'll stand over here. Hard to fall asleep when you're standing up. Point is he's saying let them get sleepy. He says let them get full. Let them have it. And it's a messianic psalm. And that's Jesus' prayer. Go back and read it sometime. He says, I say in verse 11, have they stumbled that they should fall? The word that is very important. It's hina in the Greek. Literally means in order that. Did God let them stumble in order that they shall fall? Remember chapter 9 at the end? He says they have stumbled at that stumbling block and that rock was Jesus. They stumbled. Jesus was interjected and interposed and they didn't want him, so they stumbled at him. He was God's idea all along, and when he came along, they didn't want him. They wanted to be on top. They didn't want to be a servant. You know what our problem is? We don't realize we're a servant no matter what we do. We're either servants to sin or we're servants to Christ. There's no other place. You do not serve this world. You can't do it without serving sin. You can't serve yourself without serving sin. You become a servant to the world. You know, when you see a young girl or a young man come up, they're about 19, 18, 19, they're going off to school. And you see, I've seen it where parents will just pour tons of money. They'll buy them this beautiful computer, laptop for their schooling. And these kids have no upbringing in Christ at all. And they're being sent to a school where if you'll ask any person who's ever been in a secular school what's going on at school, it's a party. They're not studying. Except when they get their eyes clear somewhere in there, they got to do something. But the fact is, there's every kind of wickedness in our universities today. And it's the schools of psychology actually have words for this. It's a second childhood. They've completely thrown off every parameter of fear because now they're older. They can do whatever they want, sleep with whoever they want, drink as long as they want and as much as they want, and nobody's going to discipline them. The schools don't say it's wrong. In fact, they set them up in co-ed dorms. Listen, that's your world today. And we give them money and we give them clothes and we give them a car and say, go on, honey. And if the child doesn't swear like a sailor at the outgoing, they think this is wonderful. Why? Because they're perpetuating the lie that they're good apart from God. And their goodness is clearly a sham. Because we are sinners, all of us. We need God. And we will either serve sin or we will serve God. And he's telling us in this passage they stumbled, but it wasn't in order that they should fall. The reason was not that they should fall. He says, God forbid in verse 11. But rather, through their salvation, their false salvation has come unto the Gentiles. And for to provoke them to jealousy. To provoke who? To provoke the Jews back to jealousy. You know what he's saying? He said, I'm letting them fall hard so they'll wake up. Because through their stumble, it wasn't so that they might utterly fall and be done with. He said, I let them fall so that the Gentiles will get saved and they'll be jealous enough to wake up. Now guys, listen. The word in chapter 11, the main thing you need to recognize in this book and in this chapter is that God's saying the church is going to do the same thing. We will fall. And we're going to let our children be the byproduct of our fall. Our foolishness and our double-mindedness and our sinfulness is going to cost our children a darkness and a blindness. You know, if you draw the line here, they're going to go just a little lower than that. If you draw it up here, they're going to draw out here. Kids always try to find a way to get by you. So if you don't think church is important, they certainly won't. When I was 16 and I went to church on a Wednesday night, I was the only 16-year-old in the row. But I was just lit up enough to think, this is probably where God wants me. And for you this morning, if you tell your kids church doesn't matter and attendance doesn't matter, reading my Bible doesn't matter and praying doesn't matter, they're going to say, you know what? It doesn't matter. And you may have the right answers and you may have memorized scriptures in the past, but nothing matters to you. And so they don't. All they see is what's on your front burner. All they see is what's in your life, what you really value. And you know what we've done? We've traded in God for a golden calf. You know what the golden calf is? Our music. We turn on the Christian radio. Well, I listen to Christian radio, Pastor. Isn't that good? Christian radio is music all day. And just because people listen to me, you know what the thing about music is? Every person who names the name of Christ can listen to that music, including people who are wrong spiritually and doctrinally and going on to hell thinking they're going to be saved. It's a golden calf hodgepodge. It blends everything. Music was something people stood against years ago because they knew it could corrupt the hearts of people. Now what music is, it's a reason to come together, and everybody comes together for music. And you know, sometimes on the concert stage, and I'm talking about Christian world, you got the strong conservative Christian artist that you're completely sure. You hear his music, you hear his testimony, guy's got to be saved. But you know what that guy's got to do? He's got to put his arm around this guy over here who's clearly questionable. You could ask Mark about Phillips, Craig, and Dean and what they believe. Good songs they put out, but you know, their doctrine is really out there. But we don't know that because we don't care. Now, listen, would it be right for the pastor to invite an evangelist in and have him stand behind the sacred desk and preach to you if the guy didn't know what he was talking about, if he was not saved? It wouldn't be right. And yet we invite without any idea of what we're inviting. So we have to be very circumspect. You know, today you can listen on oneplace.com to any preacher you want to out there at your own timing. Oneplace.com, write it down. You can listen to any preacher. You can listen to preachers that love God and preach the Word and are solid. You couldn't find them because they're not on the radio like they... You know, years when I was a kid, when they used to listen to Christian radio, it was all preaching because people said, well, this is God's money. And God's money should go to getting God's Word out today. Very little preaching on the Christian radio. And when they do a fundraiser, they're raising money. What for? To keep the music playing. And then we walk through our lives as if because I listen to Christian music on my radio, I'm